All right, we need a marker. Let's see here. What do you know about this person? Gehazi. That's our lesson tonight. Who's Gehazi? Let's go with the Bible character more than likely, right? Old Testament, New Testament. What do you think?
Old Testament.
Old Testament. All right. He was a servant to someone, a very, very important man. He was a servant. Any ideas? I love it when we get a character you don't remember.
They all know
this. They do know this one. As soon as I tell them, they're going to be like, yeah. In Sunday school, the class that just graduated out, Sister Courtney can verify, we did lots and lots of Bible character studies, and I just loved it when I brought a name and you all went. And then when we're all done, you're like, that's so cool. So hopefully that's what happens tonight. Gehazi, you know?
Elijah?
Yes, Elisha. You're super close enough we're going to get to you. He was the servant of Elisha. Very good. All right, so we're going to learn about him. And how we're going to do this is we're going to do some skits. So Gehazi. I want to put an extra syllable in there. Gehazi. You'll learn it before I will. All right. Three major stories in the Bible that he's in, and we're going to learn something from his life. So in this first skit, I'm going to need an Elisha, a Gehazi, a Shun, and a night woman, and her son. All right, so who would like to be Elisha? All right, Brother CJ.
Hey.
Come on up here. All right, so whenever you see if Elisha is speaking, you'll say the line is right there. All right, who's going to be the woman? Mr. Lauren, thank you for volunteering. All right. All right, Gehazi, who wants to be him? All right. And then I need her son. It's a non-speaking part. Drake, why don't you come do this? You don't have to speak. You just got to act. Come on up here.
That boy Drake.
All right. So once you look at your paper, when your paper says, if you're the woman, it'll say the woman for you to speak. If you're Elisha, it'll say Elisha. So follow this, all right? If there's no name, I'm going to read that. All right, so we're going to talk about this. All right, this is the story about Elisha would actually visit this woman's home, the Shunammite woman and her husband, and they would feed him. And they were just so thrilled with him, they actually built a room for him.
I perceive that this is a holy man of God.
All right, so they built this room for him, and she says, I perceive this is a holy man of God. So she's done this wonderful thing for Elisha. So Elisha says to his servant, which I think is Gehazi. This is Elisha.
Call this Shunammite. Ask her what we can do for her.
Gehazi says,
what is to be done for thee?
I'm good. My family takes care of me.
She has no children.
About this time next year, you will have a son.
And so, a year later, just like the prophet said, she had a son. Her and her husband had a son. Her husband was old. So, as the child grew up, he got sick one day. He went out in the field, told his dad, my head hurts, went home, and he died.
I will run to the man of God.
So, Elisha, she goes to the man of God. She tells him, here's what's happened. It's really bad. My son's died. And Elisha travels back to the house. He goes into the room and he shuts the door.
Drake, you're dead.
Oh, wait, you do have a speaking part. Elisha prays, and then the child sneezes seven times and opened his eyes. All right, Elisha. It's a miracle. All right. Thank you. That's skit number one.
Wow.
This was fun, but what was Gehazi? What did he see? What did he witness?
miracle. A child that was dead coming back to life. All right. Now, this story takes place a little bit later. So we're going to need a Gehazi. We're going to need a king. We're going to need that woman and her son again. All right. So, Sister Savannah, who would you like to be? The woman? Sure. Okay. All right. We need a king. All right. We need Gehazi. I need volunteers.
Fred.
Fred's being volunteered. Come on.
I'll do it.
All right. Come on. Who did I forget? Who did we got so far?
You don't have Elisha, do you?
Well, we don't have Elisha.
I'll be Elisha.
Who's Elisha? Brother Ben, be Elisha.
There you go. There you go.
I feel like I've still forgot somebody.
Me.
All right. Who's Gehazi? Nobody. Well, that's important. Who's the king? You're the king. Who's the woman? Who's the son? You're the son. You're Elisha. We get a Gehazi.
Actually, come here. Let's go.
Here's the problem. I didn't print my paper, so. Great. All right, Sister Savannah. I'm the narrator. All right, so, in this story, Elisha tells the woman something.
There's a famine coming. It's going to last 7 years. You need to live somewhere else until it's over.
All right, so woman and son, go to the other side of the room. The son, yep, all over. Okay, I just watched your paper now.
Yeah.
All right, 7 years later. Come on back.
I know. This is so exciting.
All right. Now, the woman, what do you say?
My house and my land has been stolen.
Oh, no. She comes home and there's no house. Somebody has moved into it. And her land has been stolen. So, what does she do?
I will go to the king and ask him to help me.
Okay. All right, so while she's on her way to see the king is having a conversation with Gehazi.
Tell me all the great things you saw when you were a servant to Elisha.
Elisha restored me a dead child back to life.
What? That's pretty amazing. Now the woman walks in the room. In the middle of this conversation, the woman walks in the room. And then what happens?
Oh my lord, O king, this is the woman I was telling you about, and this is her son.
Right in the middle of that, the woman just tells the king everything that happened. Just so happened that they were in this conversation about her, and she walks in the room. Then, king, what do you say?
All that was hers is to be restored.
Okay! So she gets to get all of her house and her lands back. And who witnessed all of this? Servant Gehazi. He got a chance to tell about the miracle that had happened with this woman. He gets to tell the king about it. And he sees the king restore to her her lands. Now, let's go to this story. You probably know this one. We're going to need an Elisha, a Gehazi, and a Naaman. Brother Connor, who would you like to be?
Naaman.
Okay, come on up. Be Naaman.
Ashton.
Somebody hasn't done it yet.
Ashton.
Colton Carr, who would you like to be?
Ashton.
Ashton Myers.
Who are you?
Yeah. Ashton. No.
Okay.
Single.
You're Naaman. All right, so you be Gehazi,
Ashton.
You be Elisha. All right, there we go. Now this one, you should know the gist of this, and it's a very long story, and I'm only going to tell you a little bit of it. All right, Naaman. Raise your hand. Who's Naaman? All right. Captain of the host of the king of Syria has leprosy. The little maid to his wife tells her about the prophet Elisha. He could heal Naaman. Wife tells Naaman. All right, that's a short synopsis. Naaman travels with his horses and chariots to Elisha's door.
Go answer this door. Go answer the door and give the message to Naaman.
Perfect. Go and wash the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be clean. I thought the prophet Elisha would come out and talk to me himself. Call on the name of his God and heal me. Our rivers at home are much better and cleaner than all the waters in Israel.
So Naaman leaves. Naaman's servant begins to help him understand it would be really wise if he would follow Elisha's instructions. So Naaman goes to the river, dips 7 times, and is healed. Naaman returns to Elisha's house.
Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Please let me give you a blessing. As the sea's gift.
As the Lord liveth, I will receive none. You head home.
Naaman heads home. Nope. Okay, now what happens? Gehazi, talking to himself.
Elisha should have taken the gift from Naaman. Surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him.
Gehazi runs after Naaman, tells him Elisha has changed his mind about the gift. A lie. Naaman gives Gehazi a gift. Gehazi hides the gift and returns to Elisha's house.
Where have you been, sir?
I didn't go anywhere.
Went not mine heart with you when you talked with Naaman? Is this a time to receive money and gifts? The leprosy that was on Naaman will be on you and your children forever.
Oh, and Gehazi left Elisha a leper as white as the snow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job, guys. There's our three stories. Now you know where in the Bible and what events Gehazi was a part of. I want you to consider something. When Gehazi ran after Naaman and made up this story, because Naaman's really rich and why wouldn't you take a gift? And he ran after him and he told him that lie. And then he came back, and what did Elisha say? Went not my heart with you when you did this? Now, let me tell you something. The king of Syria, and I think it was either the next chapter or the next one or two chapters, the king of Syria is really angry. And he calls this men in and he goes, listen, every single time we make a plan in this bedchamber, in this secret room, the king of Israel knows exactly what it is and he's able to stop us. Now, one of you in here is a traitor. And one of his servants said, oh no, my lord, none of us are a traitor. You know that prophet Elisha? He knows what's being said in this bedchamber, in this secret room, in this war room. He knows what's being said in here, and he tells the king of Israel. That was the same man that said, went not my heart after you? He was a man of God. And God was telling him these secret things or these things that were happening so he'd know how to take care of it. So the leprosy, what did it say about the leprosy of Naaman? Did what? What happened there? It clung to Gehazi. And what? Who else? His sons. Whoa. Do you remember the story in 2 Kings 7 when the city, it was under siege and there was famine and they were starving to death, and these lepers were at the city gates and they're like, you know what? We're going to die no matter what. So we're just going to go out here and see if we can find any food out in the enemy's camp. And they were lepers. And they went out there and they found that the Syrians in the night, God had scared them half to death and they all fled. It is believed that that was Gehazi and his sons. Not biblically, but by historical accounts. Jewish writings state that. And I think about what is the lesson we can get from Gehazi? What he experienced living with Elisha. I want you to think about some of the miracles that happened while Elisha was the prophet. Now, whether Gehazi saw these or not, I'm sure if he came on the scene later on, he would have heard about them because it had been talked about quite a bit. I mean, Elisha traveled around to what's called schools of the prophets. So I'm sure these things were talked about. So there was the parting of the river Jordan, when he just took that mantle. Remember when Elijah went up to heaven, the mantle fell down and he picked it up and he smacked the water and it parted. I'd say that's a pretty major miracle. If one of you can go down there and to the creek when the waters are high and smack it with your coat and it moves, I'm going to pay attention. I'm probably not going to ever forget that. That's going to be pretty major. The curse of the she-bears. There was the miracle of the vessels of oil. There was this prophecy that this woman would have a son when she'd not had one for years and it came true. There was the son dead and coming back to life. There was the miracle of the bread. There was the healing of Naaman. And there's several others I'm not mentioning. These are all amazing events. Probably most servants aren't going to see anything like that. But Gehazi was blessed to see all these as he was a servant unto Elisha. Now think about this. Elijah had a servant. What was his name? Trick question. It's the other prophet that we're talking about. So Elijah's servant's name was Elisha. Elisha's servant's name was Gehazi. Look at the difference in those two men. One man went on to have an amazing ministry. Actually did more miracles than the prophet Elijah before him. And the other man, horrible deception, lied. Think about the good that he was undoing. This ungodly captain of the host came to the man of God for help. And got help, the help he needed. And when he said, let me give you a gift. If Elisha would have accepted that gift, what would he have been doing? Elevating self, right? Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad I could help you. No, he said, absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. This was of God. That's how it should have. We should have, period. End of story. Next chapter. But we don't. We have this servant who should have known better going and undoing the good, that good example that Elisha had been. And I think about, like Brother Steve said as we were talking, how many have been brought up in the Church of God? I want to do a little exercise with you. If your mom and dad have been in the Church of God for most of their life, raise your hand. Mom and dad. So that means you are second generation Church of God. This doesn't mean you're more special than anybody else. Just means you're more responsible. If your grandma and grandpa were in the Church of God, I want you to raise your hand. All right. If your great grandparents were in the Church of God, I want you to raise your hand. And if your great great grandparents, that's me, my mom, Grandma Green. So I'm not great great. I'm just one great. If you have any great great grandparents, Brother Colton, Sister Michaela, Sister Vanessa.
Bo.
Yes. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, again, that doesn't make you more special. It makes you more responsible. But Brother Steve and I were talking about this. The same thing happens, he told me, in business. If you start a business and you have got to just really work hard and put long hours and build that business, you've got a real appreciation for it. Then the second generation comes along. They quite can't appreciate it quite as much. And a lot of times, the third generation comes along, and guess what they do to that business?
It goes down.
Drive it in the ground. They don't appreciate it. So let's think about spiritually. If your family came to the Church of God in your lifetime that you can remember, raise your hand. So Brother Steve's going to raise his hand. He was 14. He's kind of first generation Church of God. His appreciation, Sister Savannah, yep, your family, very good. Your appreciation is going to be a little stronger. Right. Now I think about me, Sister Victoria. So grandma, great grandma's scheme was the first one to get saved and come in contact with the Church of God. And then her daughter was Grandma Green, Faye Green, and then my mother and me. And so we can hear these stories about that they talk about. And my mom will just tell her stories, how excited she was to come to God's Acres. And I'm like, that's nice. That's nice. I can't really fathom how awesome that is to her. I've been surrounded by this my entire life. My mom moved here when she was expecting me. I've known nothing else but. And it's easy to get a little bit not as excited about the good things of God. Brother Lonnie, if you come to the morning prayer services, oh my, Vanessa's shaking her head. Absolutely. Fantastic testimonies. So encouraging. He said, I think this last Thursday, he said, I've been to many churches and none of them are like this. Anybody in here been to many churches and none of them are like this? No. Somebody here? Okay. You can raise your hands. A lot of us can't say that. But his excitement, what was he said the one time? He said, I finally belong to family. This is family. Brother Jacob.
Yeah, I've been to one church for one day and nothing like this. I've only been part of one other church, but it was not as big as this one and didn't have very many people and this. Saying that a big church, a big group, mm-hmm. that actually is a true Church of God is the right one. You know?
And so you have a greater appreciation because you've done that. Absolutely.
Mr. Sherry.
Yes.
I thought about the one he said Thursday. He was talking about, I feel so honored to be amongst you guys. Like, it was, like, he feels like we're, like, we just think, okay, it's prayer service, it's every week, and he says, I feel so honored to be among you prayer warriors and to be amongst this group.
I forgot he said that.
That really just, like, resonated with me.
Yes.
Wow. Like,
does anybody in here feel honored to be part of this youth group? I mean, we should, and we don't think about it. It's like, oh, it's time to go to Young People's again. Been doing it for years. Yeah. So we think about how we're brought up in godly spiritual homes, most of you, some of you not. You go to Sunday school, you go to Young People's. How many camp meetings and revivals have we been in? And it's, yeah, it's good. I'm thankful. And we're talking about some of these testimonies. But I think about sometimes I've had visitors come and we'll have one of our special altar calls. And they'll say, I've never seen something like this before. And you're like, oh, wow. We see this a lot, you know. Songs, we sing a song and God begins to work with hearts and people go to the altar. Some people have never seen that before until they come to God's Acres. And we're like, oh, wow, yeah, this happens on a regular basis. I think about Natalie. It was probably at 13 or 14 and we were having one of those altar calls. And she leans over to me and she said, Mom, it's real. And my mom's heart just about come out of my chest because I thought, okay, she sees it. She sees it now. You know, she's starting to really see it. But over time, I highly doubt that when we have a really good altar call that Natalie leans over to Ethan and goes, it's real. Ethan, it's real. No, because you get used to it. And thank God we have it so much, but there's such a danger in losing our appreciation for it. So I wrote several things down. I thought it'd be really kind of cool for me to share with you miracles that either I have witnessed firsthand, because we're talking about Gehazi and all he witnessed being the servant of Elisha, the man of God who could bring the dead back to life with the power of God. All right. So Brother Gordon's healing. Who in here has never heard Brother Gordon share his story? Because he's been gone a minute. So any of you raise your hand if you've never heard Brother Gordon? All right. So that story is, he used to tell that story over and over. God, amazing. God healed him. He was on his deathbed. He had to be pretty young because he was telling that story for decades. And God miraculously healed him. And he literally come up out of the bed and jumped on the floor. And his feet straightened out and he was healed and he lived for, I don't even know how long after that. I grew up hearing that story over and over. And what would he do, you who remember, what would he do after he told that story?
He'd jump.
He would jump and jump. And then what happened? Things come out of his pockets. He lost his keys and his glasses. And we never forgot that. We remember that. There's a story told about, and Brother Bill Miller shared this with us long, long time ago. And they used to have a well here on the acres that was providing the water for the camp meeting before we probably got on the city water. And Brother Chris, if you remember this better than me, you don't. So the well went dry and it was camp meeting and they just went to prayer. I think they had a special prayer. And the next thing they knew, water was running out of that well. I forget exactly how that'll come to be. But that story happened either before my time or when I was too young. But those people are telling those stories of a miracle that they experienced. I think about Steve's healing. You've heard that story. Think about my Grandma Green, who was healed when she was a small child, a baby. She had poison, blood poisoning, and there was a streak running up her leg, and she was probably going to die. She was in very bad shape. They sent off and got an anointed hanky, and when that hanky came to them, and this is probably when my grandma's skin became more in contact with the truth, they laid that hanky on Grandma Green, prayed for her, and within just a very short time, like literally maybe an hour or two, she got up and she was on the floor playing and she was healed. And until Grandma died, she kept that hanky. And all of you are probably too young. She died in 99. But when Grandma would testify, she would wave that. And that would remind us of that story. And how awesome. That was a miracle. God healed her. She was on her deathbed. Brother Stegmeyer's healing. You probably have heard that story. I don't remember what year that was. He came to camp meeting and he was in bad shape and he was over in the dorm and we prayed and we prayed and he was probably going to die. And I remember, I think it was the last service, he was finally able to be wheeled in a wheelchair into the back of the church. He did not look good. And he went home, and years and years and years later, he's still here today. That's one of those incidences. That's one of those miracles, like Gehazi I witnessed, that I've witnessed. There's not just healing, I think, about salvation. So there was a lady here in our congregation, and her name was Clara. And as gently as I could say, she was probably the most challenging person I've ever met. Unsaved and not anything godly kind about her that I ever picked up on. And a lot of times when she came, you just kind of want to walk the other way. Clara was just obnoxious.
She had a very bad reputation around town.
Yes. This is true.
Actually, her sister went into some places that she would frequent, and they went to kick her out because they thought it was Clara.
Yes.
And so, she had a very, very bad reputation.
She really did. So one day, Clara, who had caused lots of trouble, she was older, went to the altar, and we're like, what's she up to now? You know, what's Clara up to now? Clara Bell got saved. Oh my, did she ever get saved? I have to smile. I see that Remember Lot's Wife beautiful painting there as I walk in the door. And I said, I want to say, remember Clara Bell. Because it just gives me such inspiration that this woman who was probably the worst person that I knew in my childhood growing up, just terrible stories, got saved. And one day she got up and sang. And it was like probably the sweetest, one of the sweetest songs I've ever heard. Not that she was super duper on tune or on key or anything like that. I don't remember that she was. And not very long after that, she passed away. And I think, remember Clara? That's a strong miracle. Not just healing, but saving. Then I think about money provided just in time. Brother Steve and I have told stories about ourselves when we needed food and we went out, we come home and there was food on our porch, and other people have talked about that. I think about, maybe you've heard the story of the barn moving over the hill. So I was in high school, I think maybe
you were a
junior.
I was a senior.
You were a senior. And we had come for the graduate dinner, if I recall. And you and I walked over here to see, because as they moved that barn over the hill, it got tangled up with the electric lines. One man died, and another man looked like he had died. And Brother Wilson just went over, knelt down, and prayed for that man. And he came out of it. Whether he was dead or dying or what, we don't know. But it was quite a miracle. Now, these stories that I'm telling you, they're real events. They're not just something, a feel-good story. When Brother Steve and I were here as young people, I would say that youth group probably was, what do you think, Steve? 70 kids, maybe? Very large. Very, very large. Very few here today. They saw Brother Gordon. They knew the story of Brother Wilson praying for that man. They saw my grandmother telling her stories. They saw the miracles of people getting saved that it seemed like there was no hope for them. But like Gehazi, they were untouched. They didn't accept it. And a lot of them, as I think about, I could almost put a name beside some of them. Some of them today are atheists. They don't even believe in God at all. They grew up in the church of God. They had these opportunities. And they must have been not appreciating it like they should. Some have become alcoholics. Some have had multiple divorces. And some are in prison. Some are in false religion. And some want nothing to do with God. That's incredibly sad. We look at Gehazi and we think, what's wrong with you? You saw a dead child come back to life. Why didn't you pay more attention? Why didn't you follow what Elisha was teaching? What's wrong with you? You saw these miracles. And perhaps if Gehazi could look at us today, he might say, what's wrong with you? You see these miracles, people getting saved and changed lives. James and Denisha thrill me to no end. And that's just one name I'm grabbing out. To see them get saved and still here and still living it. You ones that have come on, these new families that have come on, so exciting. When Brother Lonnie gets up and testifies, I've been searching for this. I've never had to search for this. I just haven't. And you Church of God kids that have been here all your life haven't either. And I'm like, that's really sweet. I mean, I can't really relate because I've just had it all my life. I've never been hungry like that. I think this story of Gehazi is such a warning. Such a warning. Spiritually, it can take as little as 3 generations to lose an appreciation for what we have. So how can we not lose it? What do you think? What can we do to not lose this appreciation? Because we have to love it. We have to live it and love it. How do you do that? Any ideas? But Jacob?
Stay in the light.
Stay in the light? Brother Ashton?
I think the first thing is you have to understand it. Because like that's the reason like that third generation of a business fails. Mm-hmm. They don't fully understand the whole business.
And what it took to get it run in and what to keep. Yes, that's a good thought. And that's been my passion with you guys. And you know that. Get your why. Get your why. Why is it important that a Christian dress modest? And what does modesty look like? What's the name of the church? What is the right name of God's church? And how do you know? Can we live free from sin? Or is it like most religions, do the best you can, God will understand, ask him to forgive you every night? What do you know? We're digging. We've been digging, haven't we? We've been digging in Bible studies. We dig in Sunday school. We're digging in the Revelation study because you've got to have a foundation. And you've got to get down there and get your roots in. Anybody else have an idea how we can lose? Why do we lose our appreciation or our love? Any other ideas? These are good. The understanding.
What, can I say something?
Of course.
Something that I was reading, and we'll bring this out in the Revelation study Wednesday night, but Sardis was up on an elevator. It was on an elevation of about 1,000 feet. And it was a citadel. In other words, it was impenetrable. Enemies couldn't get to it. However, one of the guards that was on guard duty, he looked over and he lost his helmet. And the enemy was looking up, watching. And he saw this guard come down. He found he actually was coming down through some cracks and stuff in the mountain, for lack of a better term. And so he says, if he could get down to get that helmet, I can get up to get there. Well, when he took himself and a bunch of people, or a group of people up there, a group of soldiers, he found that the walls were not guarded. So in other words, the reason why Sardis fell was because the people got lazy. And so spiritually, what does that mean to us? If we're not on our guard, if we're not wary and looking for the enemy, we get lazy. And part of that laziness is we lose our appreciation for God. And what happens to us? It leaves us open prey for the enemy. And so, in other words, we could fall for anything as far as that's concerned.
And one more thought that I'd like to leave you with. I love how the Bible compares our relationship with God to a relationship with a husband and wife. Continually, we have to work on that. He tells me that supper tastes good. I tell him, thank you for... We have a little routine. I get up, I make the coffee, I pack his lunch, he makes the bed. And so I tell him, thank you for making the bed. And we have these conversations continually. And he might tell me, you know, Cher, I really don't like the way the yard's looking. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's my plans. And he talks to me about it. And then I'll talk to him and say, you know, honey, I think we really need to move the toy room downstairs. I don't really like it. It's back there. It's too little. It's too crowded. And maybe, but he's like, yeah, that's a really good idea. And we work and we make plans and we talk and we share things. What if we did that with, and so we have a greater appreciation for each other. I mean, the kids were little, I used to say, isn't your dad smart? Didn't me and God pick well here? Didn't we do a good job? Now, you know what that's doing to me? That's making me feel a little more kindly toward him. You know, there's rare times that maybe he gets on my nerves. I'd be like, I know, but he's so smart. And he fixed supper last night. And when the kid was throwing up, he actually helped me clean them up. And so I'm working to increase my appreciation for him by talking about him to other people and by talking to him. Now, what about the Lord? How often do we talk? Well, you know I should pray every day, Sister Sherry. I know that. Okay. All right. I pray for my family 3 times. And then I went through my list and I told the Lord, okay, here's all the people that are sick and people need to be saved. And that's great. But what if just every day all I did was told Steve, hey, supper, or he told me, supper was good. And then he's like, okay, Sherry, here's all the things that need to be done today, which I probably would not appreciate. And he wouldn't appreciate me doing that to him either. Now, I might say, honey, you know what? The truck needs gas, and could you help me out here? Okay, but we need more. So let's think about our relationship with God. What if we started the day and we just said, good morning, Lord. Ah, thank you for helping me to wake up. I don't have a headache today. I had a headache yesterday when I woke up, and I really appreciate that. And, oh, I got some stuff facing me today, and I'm really kind of confused. What do you think about it? How do you think I should handle it? Could you maybe, like, guide me and, oh, you know, Lord, I read this scripture and I felt like you were showing me something that was really cool. And could you help me understand that a little more? Because this is you speaking to me. You see what I'm doing? I'm this conversation with God. Like, oh, you know, the pastor said, Lord, that the sisters should wear their skirts below their knees. So is that what, you know, I'm getting the Bible. I want you to help me understand that because I want to know what you think about that. I appreciate my pastor, and I'm sure he's on the right track. But Lord, could you help me understand that too? Could you show me? And pretty soon, this relationship with God is like this. It's like this. And then when the brother Lonnie's get up and testify, you're more blessed than ever because he's talking about my best friend. He's talking about the husband of the church. Yeah, that's my Lord. Go for it. I know. Isn't he awesome? I know. Amen. You see how that can help us appreciate it more? I've been given something, this choir song says, that does not contain a price. It's like I just took this huge diamond and I laid it in your lap. And if you don't know what it is and you don't know the value of it, you're going to have a hard time holding on to it. So Gehazi, hopefully you will not forget him. It's a good lesson of what not to do. He was close to the man of God. He literally worked side by side with him. But more than likely, he did not make heaven his home. And to me, sadder than that, he affected his children. I know it's kind of hard for you to think about your children right now, especially if you're under 18, maybe if you're graduated and you're thinking about getting married, you might think about children a little bit. For the most part, you're not really. But man, when that baby's laid in your arms and it's yours and you're responsible, I got some son-in-laws. They would, if they thought somebody's gonna hurt that baby, they would go to bat. They got their fist up. They're protecting them. What if we be that earnest about protecting them spiritually? And decisions you're making right now are going to affect that part of your life as well. So it's a good warning, Gehazi. Hopefully you'll remember Gehazi. He did some things that we shouldn't do. He certainly lost his appreciation for the things of God.